Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Ireland has completed a deal to buy 700,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine from Romania. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says it's a significant deal. Five dioceses, including Raphoe, are now making plans to go ahead with First Communions and confirmations, contrary to government and public health advice. Donegal County Council has completed and submitted an application for rural regeneration funding for Buncrana. The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council says it's a significant move. And Minister Charlie McConnellogue defends the government as it emerges new rural housing guidelines are to be delayed until November. Later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news. Kenny Harkin is here at around 5:15. First, this evening, the rate of COVID infection continues to slow in Donegal. According to latest HSC figures, the seven-day incidence rate in the county is now 398.3. That's down from 518.2 this time last week. There has been a reduction in infectious cases at Letterkenny University Hospital. The figure is down from 15 to 12. Two people, meanwhile, are receiving treatment in the hospital's intensive care unit. Well, in a statement from Celta this afternoon, they say Letterkenny University Hospital remains extremely busy this week with higher than average numbers of people attending. In a statement, they say patients are currently experiencing long waiting times to be admitted from the emergency department to an acute bed in the hospital. Management are urging people to attend the emergency department only in cases of real emergency. They should contact their GP during normal surgery hours or the NowDoc GP out of hours service in the first instance. Full details of that statement on our website, highlandradio.com. Ireland has completed a deal to buy 700,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine from Romania. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says the move will help speed up the vaccine rollout right through August. With more, here's Sean Defoe.
After weeks of negotiation, the deal with Romania to buy 700,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine has been made. The doses will arrive through August from manufacturing facilities in Belgium, having originally been allocated to the Romanians. The original deal was for 700,000 Pfizer doses and a further 300,000 Moderna jabs, with sources saying the latter part of the arrangement is still being worked on. Taoiseach Micheál Martin has said the supply will support the next phases of the rollout through the summer and autumn months. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly has said exact dates for the arrival of the extra vaccines haven't been confirmed by Pfizer, but the delivery will start this month.
Meanwhile, the 6 millionth vaccine will be administered in the Republic this week, while the vaccine programme will extend to 12 to 15-year-olds over the coming weeks. Immunologist Professor Luke O'Neill says that's necessary to facilitate the safe reopening of schools, but he says it would be very hard to justify extending vaccination beyond that age group.
Now, the younger ones is a bit trickier because very mild disease, you know, it probably isn't being transmitted through the under 12s anyway, so justifying those being vaccinated seems less to me. They're smaller and they don't release as much virus. There's evidence for this, by the way, you know. So the fact they carry less virus anyway if they're infected, they're less likely to be sources of infection. It's different with the teenagers because they're, as we know, running rampant and they're nearly as big as us.
A Donegal GP says that while some people who are vaccinated have caught and been hospitalised with COVID-19, the vast majority of those who've recently caught the virus or been hospitalised are still unvaccinated. Speaking on the 9 till noon show today, Dr. Dennis McCauley, who chairs the IMO's GP committee, said the positive effects of the vaccination programme are being felt in the Republic, especially compared to other countries with lower vaccination rates.
Well, we are. Even speaking to the hospital consultants in the hospital, they're finding that, yes, some people some of the people coming into the hospital are vaccinated, but the vast majority of those, greater than those that are unvaccinated, are just controlled with some oxygen and some steroids. Now, there will be exceptional cases. You'll always pick out the exceptional case, but the vast majority of people who have a vaccine will be protected from getting COVID. Some will get COVID, will be a mild illness, and unfortunately, if you are sick enough that you go into hospital, the vast majority of the vaccinated people will settle with some oxygen and some steroids. Now, will somebody who's been vaccinated die? I unfortunately think they will, but it will be a very small proportion overall. So I think you have to look at, you know, standing back and just say, no, this has been the vaccination. If we weren't vaccinated, we would be having extraordinarily high rates of death. All you have to look at simple, just examples and sad examples such as Brazil. Even look at China now, where the vaccination rates are quite low and it's beginning to spread. We have done really well. By choosing to vaccinate yourself, you're protecting yourself. Because up to 75-80% of the virus population will be vaccinated, they've actually helped to spread it, to prevent it from being spread. So I think we have to look at it from that point of view. You can always pick around the edges, but overall, you know, well done. And I think we have benefited from our actions.
And that was Dr. Dennis McCauley. 163,400 people receiving the pandemic unemployment payment across the country this week. That's the lowest weekly figure recorded since the pandemic began. It marks a 29,000 drop on last week, which saw the resumption of indoor dining. In Donegal, the figures show 5,026 people are receiving the payment this week. That compares to 5,983 last week. It's a fall of 16%. 522 people in Donegal are receiving the enhanced illness benefit. Five dioceses, including Raphoe, are now making plans to go ahead with First Communions and confirmations, contrary to government and public health advice. At the weekend, Bishop Alan McGuckian said the sacraments could go ahead in Raphoe from August 13th, while stressing the need for the highest standards of sanitation and social distancing. Last week, the Bishop of Elphin, Kevin Doran, was first to say he would allow First Communions and confirmations to proceed. With more, here's Quisha Connolly.
Since then, the bishops of Clogher, Meath, Raphoe and Waterford and Lismore have also said they plan to go ahead with the religious celebrations. But Father Iggy O'Donovan, a member of the Augustinian Order, says it's not worth the risk, considering how long parishes have already waited.
In principle, I think the bishops in this case are making an error. It would be foolish to say that people are breaking down church doors to celebrate sacraments. We know very well they are not. So in some ways we're dealing here with social and not religious events.
At the moment, religious services, including weddings and funerals, can take place with up to 50 people allowed in churches. Baptisms have been given the go-ahead from this Thursday, with public health officials appealing to families to avoid arranging parties for afterwards.
Other news now, and Donegal County Council has completed and submitted an application for Category 1 funding from the Rural Regeneration Development Fund for Buncrana. Councillor Jack Murray, the Cathaoirleach of Council, says the application is a real statement of intent from the Council to prioritise investment in Donegal's largest seaside town. The initial application is for just over €1.35 million for planning and design. A more substantial application will follow later to implement the proposals, if that's successful. Councillor Jack Murray says there is now a chance for Buncrana to reach its full potential.
I have to say, in my 10 years in the council, this is probably the most ambitious plan that Donegal County Council set out for the town of Buncrana. It'll be an absolute game changer in every way, and it's going to plans to harness the full potential of Buncrana, which Buncrana is a spectacularly beautiful town located in an incredible area, but I really don't think it has reached the tip of the iceberg of its potential. So the council has submitted an application for €1.3 million for design and architects consultant to completely reimagine the entire shorefront all the way up to Main Street through Church Street. It would incorporate taking over the Garda Barracks to put in bespoke accommodation, which would create 100 jobs in that section alone. The Amazing Grace Park, and you'll be familiar with the lovely park, has plans to put a pedestrian footbridge across the Mill River, taking it over to the pier. The entire pier would then be enhanced, there'll be lit up, there'll be benches, there'll be a real focal point for people arriving in the town from the ferry from Rathmullen. Then the walkway, which was along the shorefront, the whole way to Swans Park, will be widened. You'll be able to cycle on it. It'll, again, will be lit up. The Amazing Grace viewing point, again, will be another signature location. It'll be greatly enhanced, lit up. The access to Swan Park will be improved, and then Church Street, which will be the main street to try and draw visitors who may come to Buncrana just for the beach, will be drawn to the main street where they can support local businesses and leave some money in the economy after. And again, that would be allowed for enhancements in that area.
Donegal County Council, Cathaoirleach Councillor Jack Murray. Agriculture and Marine Minister Charlie McConnellogh is defending the government after it emerged that new rural housing guidelines have been delayed until November. Planners say they don't know how to proceed as a result of the new guidance, with confusion over whether locals' only restrictions will be tightened or changed. Minister McConnellogue says it's important that they strike the right balance.
So there's updated rural housing policy and planning guidelines being developed at the moment, which are due by the end of this year. They will continue to facilitate people in terms of being able to build in rural Ireland. What's important in doing that as well, though, is that we have an appropriate balance, and indeed that we don't see, particularly around larger around towns and cities, that urban sprawl and indeed urban-type development entering rural areas.
Four schools in Donegal have been named to be part of a new government research project that will trial a number of practices that could shape the way rural schools operate in future. Áine McGlinchey has more.
Minister for Education Norma Foley announced yesterday that Dunfanaghy National School, Garton National School, Ballymore National School and Creeshlaw National School have been selected as one of six school clusters across the country that will be taking part in the two-year action research project. Some of the collaborative teaching methods that will be trialled during the two-year period include collaboration between schools on their respective curriculums, sharing ICT resources, and experimenting with one principal taking charge of all schools within the cluster at once. The project will be entirely funded by the Department of Education and will get underway when the new school year begins next month.
Donegal Deputy Patrick McLaughlin says leading government politicians are working against the express will of the Dáil when it comes to the microcrisis. His comments come after claims in recent days that the government is aiming for a revised 90-10 micro-redress scheme rather than 100% redress in its talks with micro-campaigners within the micro-working group. On today's 9 till noon show, Deputy McLaughlin said if government officials change their mind on 100% redress after a bill was passed in the Dáil in June supporting it, then the Dáil may as well shut down.
If that is what they're working towards now, they're working against the express will of the Dáil. Now, see, if they're saying that motions that are unanimously passed by the Dáil are worth nothing, then you might as well shut down the Dáil. Well, what's the point? You know, if you are saying that you agree with something, you're passing a motion. What we need urgent clarification from now, Greg, and it's critical. I've called for this now for over a week. I understand that the campaigning families are contacting Minister Charity McConlogue, trying to arrange an urgent meeting with the Minister, Dara O'Brien. He needs to come in, needs to meet the six representatives of the families in Mayo and Galway, and he needs to say that they, the government, are still negotiating for a fully funded scheme, the same as what's available, and we've said this again and again, to the families in Dublin and North Leinster under the pyrite remediation scheme. And that's what he needs to do. The problem you see, Greg, for the last 6 weeks is that the political system agreed the way forward in the Dáil on June 15th, thanks to the huge numbers of people, particularly from Donegal, who came down that day to stand up for themselves. So that was agreed by the Dáil. The problem is that these leading campaigners and representatives on the working group have been negotiating not with the government, but with department officials in the last number of weeks. And I found it astounding that those officials would present a document like that that it's not clear is coming from and signed off on by the Minister for Housing himself. So he needs to urgently clarify where he stands.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. We'll start with news of the Olympics, and all three Irish riders have qualified for tomorrow's individual show jumping final in Tokyo. Dara Kenny finished second in qualification, and he'll be joined by Bertram Allen and Kian O'Connor. While Kelly Harrington, she'll face Thailand's Sudhaporn Sesundi in Thursday morning's lightweight boxing semi-final. The Dubliner secured at least a bronze with this morning's quarter-final win. And Andrew Corcoran, he secured a place in the men's 1500 metres semi-finals by finishing as one of the fastest runners-up in his heats, and Leon Reid was 7th in his semi-final of the men's 200 metres. Elsewhere, Elaine Thompson-Herah has become the first woman to successfully defend the 100 and 200 metre Olympic titles. The Jamaican claimed the 200 metres gold this afternoon in a time of 21.53 seconds. Meanwhile, American gymnast Simone Biles, she says she's proud of her performance in the beam final today after winning bronze on her return to action at Tokyo 2020. The 24-year-old withdrew from most of her events in Japan to focus on her mental well-being. Biles put on a solid performance in what could be her last ever appearance at the Games and says she's happy to finish third.
I wasn't expecting to medal. I just came out here and just tried to do a good beam set. I switched my dismount last minute because of everything going on. But just to have one more opportunity to compete at the Olympics meant the world to me.
Moving on to rugby, and Lions prop Kyle Sinclair has been cleared to play on Saturday's third and deciding test against the Springboks. He was cited for an alleged bite on South African lock Franco Mossert during last weekend's defeat, but an independent judicial committee did not find sufficient evidence to ban the England international. Sinclair is named among the replacements for Saturday's deciding match. Warren Gatland has made six changes for that game, with Bundy Aki earning a first test cap. Ali Price, Liam Williams and Josh Adams, they also come in for Connor Murray, Stuart Hogg and Anthony Watson. And in the front row, Kane Owens and Wynn Jones, they replace Luke Kouyondiki and Michael Vinipolo. Meanwhile, South Africa have been dealt two massive injury blows. Flanker Peter Steph Dutoit and scrum half Faf de Klerk are both out with respective shoulder and muscle issues. Franco Mossert moves from lock to the side of the scrum. Lud De Jager is promoted from the bench to the starting team, and he'll be alongside Eben Etzbeth in the second row. Kobus Reinach replaces de Klerk. In soccer, Bohemians face their toughest test to date in the Conference League tonight. They welcome Greek giants PAOK to the Aviva Stadium for the first leg of their third round qualifier. Bohs haven't conceded in the three European matches ahead of tonight's encounter, which kicks off at 7:45. At the same time, Linfield entertain Fola Etch of Luxembourg, and Rangers there in Champions League action tonight. The first leg of their third round qualifier away to Malmo kicks off at 6 o'clock. And here back here at home, Piemont, they have the chance to open up a 3-point gap at the top of the summit of the Women's National League this evening. They take on fellow Dublin side DLR Waves at 7:45, and there's a 7 o'clock kickoff at Lissy Woolen for the meeting of Athlone Town and Galway. Elsewhere in Scotland, Celtic Football Club have announced the signing of two new players: goalkeeper Joe Hart, who joins the club on a 3-year deal from Tottenham Hotspur, and midfielder James McCarthy, who signed a 4-year deal having left his previous club, Crystal Palace, at the end of last season. Joe Hart, who has been capped 75 times for England, and James McCarthy, he's been capped 43 times for the Republic of Ireland, both joining Celtic. In England, Harry Kane has failed to turn up for work once again in a bid to force away a move away from Tottenham Hotspur. The English captain was due back at pre-season training yesterday but didn't show up. He's now expected to return this weekend. Kane's been linked with potential moves to Manchester City as well as Manchester United and Spurs London rivals Chelsea. Meanwhile, the English Football League say they'll continue to support players who choose to take the knee during the new season. It has also backed teams wishing to challenge racial prejudice and other ways. A new Together Against Discrimination match day message will also be introduced in the Championship, League One and Two. Finally, for this evening in golf, the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open is set to see a significant boost in prize money. It follows the news of a strategic alliance between the European Tour and the PGA Tour. The Scottish Open, the Barbasol Championship and the Barracuda Championship will all have FedEx Cup and Race to Dubai points at stake from next season. Also starting from next year, the Irish Open will see its prize money nearly doubled to €5 million. Well, that's all your sport for this evening. It's back to Donal.
Thank you, Kenny. Police in Derry are investigating an arson incident on the Strand Road in the city in the early hours of this morning. The PSNI say just before 4 a.m. they received reports that several bins at a communal block of flats were on fire. They say a member of the public was able to remove the bins from the building. That allowed residents to make their way to safety. Emergency services attended the scene. Meanwhile, 2 weeks ago, Gardaí say 75 bales were set alight at Bunatan in Glenvar. It happened on Tuesday, July 20th, between 10:45 and 11:40 that night. Gardaí are appealing to anyone who may have any information in relation to the incident to contact Milford Garda Station. They're particularly anxious to hear from anyone that may have dash cam footage. Well, Gardaí and Donegal are investigating a number of incidents over the past week involving both a theft from a vehicle in Letterkenny and also a dangerous driving incident in the area of Creasla. With more, here's Daniel Brennan.
Gardaí and Letterkenny are seeking information relating to a theft from a car in the Beechwood Park area of Letterkenny that occurred last week. They say a spoiler was removed from a black Volkswagen Passat in Beechwood Park between 8:30pm on Thursday the 29th of July and midday on July 30th. They are appealing for anyone with information to contact Letterkenny Garda Station. Gardaí in Milford, meanwhile, are investigating several dangerous driving incidents that happened on the Turman to Creasla Road and within the village of Creasla itself last Sunday evening, August 1st, at approximately 7:30pm. Milford Gardaí say that the vehicle involved in the incidents is a silver Toyota Corolla with two males on board the vehicle at the time. Anyone who may have been in the area or has dashcam footage of any of the dangerous driving incidents in the Creasla area last Sunday is being asked to contact Milford Gardaí.
And Gardaí are investigating three incidents of criminal damage in a location near Newton Cunningham. It happened in a car park in the area known as the Backshore at Drumboy, Newton Cunningham. On the Community Garda slot on the 9 till noon show today, Garda Gráinne Doherty outlined what happened.
The first incident happened at, it's at a car park at an area known as the Back Shore. This is located at Drumboy, Newton Cunningham. So the most recent incident happened on Thursday, the 29th of July. This happened between 4:30pm and 5:30pm, quite a short time period there. The car owner, he parked up the car, he took his dog for a walk onto the beached area, and he discovered when he returned to the car that the front passenger window had been smashed. Nothing was taken from the car, just an act of criminal damage, it would appear. And then two similar types of incidents of criminal damage happened at the same location at this car park at Drumboy, Newton Cunningham, on Wednesday the 21st of July, shortly after 9:30pm. And again, a window was smashed on two cars on that date, and again, nothing was taken from either car, so again, just one act of criminal damage, it would appear. In relation to the incident on the 21st of July, we're interested in hearing from anybody who had any sightings of a grey gold coloured Nissan Almera, possibly an 06 year style car, that was observed in the area on that date, and there was one man on board. If anybody observed this car, or if anybody was in the area again who had a dash cam and may have picked up this car on their dash cam footage, or if anybody witnessed the incident itself, we would like to hear from them. And extra patrols now, of course, will take place, you know, within that area, but we would also appeal to people who reside in that area, if they ever do notice anything, any suspicious vehicles, people in the area, given the fact that these incidents have occurred, you know, recently, you know, give us a ring and let us know even the registration of a car, or notify us, we can send a car out to check. Yeah.
Garda Gráinne Doherty. And of course, you can see the whole of today's Community Garda slot on our website, highlandradio.com. Indeed, the whole of the 9 till noon show is podcast, and that podcast is now available. Large cash payments could soon be a thing of the past, as planned EU rules mean all purchases over €10,000 will have to be done by card or through a bank. With more details, here's Paul O'Donoghue.
Getting a new car or fixing up the house are some instances where buyers might prefer to deal in cash. But the new EU rules will put a stop to this if more than €10,000 is changing hands, as part of a push to crack down on tax evasion and money laundering. Banking Federation boss Brian Hayes says the limit could be enforced by getting rid of consumer protection rights on large cash deals.
You know, in the same way that there are basic insurance products and facilities for people who transact business, those insurance facilities may not exist if it is cash related, for instance.
But there are concerns about the implications for privacy and civil liberties. And financial analyst Carl Dieter says vulnerable groups could also be affected.
The losers might be people who would be unbanked. You know, there's people who don't have trust in banks, or they're part of minority groups, or they've never had a bank account. And they're still, you know, one in 25 people may be unbanked in Ireland at present. So there are people who may have problems because of this.
If the European Commission plan goes as expected, it's thought the rules will come into force sometime within the next 3 years.
Looking at the weather forecast, there'll be some showers into the evening, some of them potentially heavy, possibly thundery. Light to moderate southerly breezes. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with outbreaks of rain extending gradually from the west. Minimum temperatures tonight 12 to 14 degrees Celsius. Light to moderate southerly breezes. It'll be cloudy at first tomorrow as a band of showery rain moves through the region. Brighter spells and scattered showers will follow. Some heavy showers likely once again. Maximum temperatures tomorrow 17 to 20 degrees Celsius in mostly light to moderate southerly winds at first, gradually veering westerly. Main stories in brief. The rate of COVID infection continues to slow in Donegal, according to the latest HSE figures. But Letterkenny University Hospital remains extremely busy at the moment. Higher than average numbers of people attending, South to say as a result, patients are experiencing long waiting times to be admitted from the emergency department to acute beds in the hospital. Ireland has completed a deal to buy 700,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine from Romania. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says this will help speed up the vaccine rollout further over the course of August. A Donegal GP says while some people who are vaccinated have caught and been hospitalised with COVID-19, the vast majority of those who have caught it are still unvaccinated. And Donegal County Council has completed an application for funding for Buncrana under the Rural Regeneration Development Fund. Next news is at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 3rd of August. The death has taken place of Liam Bradley, Munya, Linsford, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his late residence, which is strictly private, please. Funeral from there on Thursday morning to Star of the Sea Church, Desertegny, for funeral mass at 11 o'clock with burial in the adjoining graveyard. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, funeral is strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. The death has occurred of Brian Dimnick Boyle, Dunloe. His remains will repose at Midlands Funeral Home this evening from 6pm to 9pm. Viewing tomorrow from 3pm to 9pm. Funeral mass on Thursday morning at 11 in St Cronus Church, Dunloe, with interment afterwards in Mahary Cemetery. And the death has taken place of James McGonigal, Big Jim, Clunche, Clonmany. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 9, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/clonmany.